If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the first verse that we'll look at. As you know, we're doing a study we're calling Making a Difference. And the whole idea that we've been saying is we want not to just live a life, but to leave a legacy. It's what you want. You want your life to count for Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about that. And then when we started our study, we looked at the commission, which is to make disciples. And that's the key. And then in the commission to make disciples is evangelism and training. So we spent several weeks on evangelism, especially going to Colossians, looking at four keys to sharing our faith. And now we're in the area of training. And we're talking about being ready to train. And that's, of course, twofold, evangelism training. Then training, that's the big fork, the commission, the evangelism, the training, the charge. That's what we've been seeing. We're all the way now to, if you've got your sheet, you should be the part at the top of the page that says the plan to teach others. Because what we saw is that in this whole idea is that we saw the characteristics of being a disciple, and they were pretty hard. And then we began last time, just started touching on the whole idea of the plan to teach others. And there are three things we do: prepare self, teach others, and biblical pattern. Let's keep that there. Let's have a prayer, and then we'll get into our study. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, we never take for granted what Jesus has done for us, how in your great love, mercy to us, you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to pay for sin, to rise again. Lord, as we look at the Gospel of Luke, we see plainly Jesus is going to the cross for us as our Passover lamb, to give eternal life to all who will believe. Lord, thank you that salvation is a gift, it's not works. Thank you that you are the Savior and not us. We thank you that it's not our faithfulness that saves us or keeps us saved, but it is you in all the way. And so thank you for that, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that as we think about our commission, and that is to make disciples, evangelism and training, that, Lord, we would be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We would share our faith. We'd be ready to tell people how they too can have eternal life. And yet at the same time, Lord, not only do we evangelize, but we train. And so we ask you, Lord, that as we think about teaching others, that we would be ready to do that. And, Lord, as we study today, you'll teach us. Lord, I thank you for this this class with so many people in this room who love you, who want their lives to count for you. Lord, would you use us in a way beyond what we could imagine? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're at the part where a great place to start right there, the plan to train others. There's three things. We prepare ourselves, we teach others, and we're going to see a biblical pattern. I think one of the things that is amazing is we've been talking about this over these weeks, how there's so many people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but they're not disciples. They haven't offered their lives as living sacrifices. They haven't taken up the cross. They haven't denied themselves. They're not living for Jesus Christ. Now, we talked several weeks ago, is it disobedience for a believer not to be a disciple? I mean, we talked about that. I mean, the charge is to offer our lives as living sacrifices. And it's powerful. We looked the last couple of weeks at characteristics of being a disciple, and we saw those things about loving Jesus above anything else and loving others and obeying the Scripture and being faithful and all of those kind of things. So we saw a lot. In this part, the idea is to plan to train others. Now, notice something, the way we put that. It is a plan to train others. If you do not plan to train others, you will never train others. If we do not plan to make disciples, we'll never make disciples. The Christian life is, it doesn't just happen. In fact, the truth is, if we're not growing and becoming more like Christ and doing all these things, we're actually going the other way. I always think of the passage in Hebrews where the writer, writing to some Christians who didn't grow, and they went the other direction. And when he writes to him, he says, by this time you should be teachers, but somebody needs to teach you the basic truths all over again. So the truth is, if you're not really growing, you're going the other way. And so what the plan is for us to grow and to be a disciple and to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And I think it's powerful. The first thing is to prepare ourselves. And I want you to think about that. Prepare ourselves. If we're going to touch other lives and train others, we must be prepared. Now, by the way, as I mentioned a while ago, that the whole idea of making disciples and training others, it's because you choose to do that. You plan to do that. The Christian life, you will just go through life. And as we said, you'll go through life and say, I just lived a life. Or you can go through life and leave a legacy. And it's your choices. It's the choices we make, the things that we decide to do. Do you have a plan to teach others. Now, one of the things that we have to do as a local church, as a local body, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan because the whole idea, the goal and the purpose of a local body is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training. What we have chosen to do at Countryside is our theme is the Ephesians 4:12. We want to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. How are we going to do that? How do we equip saints to do the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ? Well, we do it, first of all, in big groups, such as Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then we have smaller groups, and that's really one of the keys. Smaller groups like Sunday school classes and 412s and CBI classes and Bible studies at homes and all these kind of things. The plan is to get into smaller groups and equip each other to do ministry to build up the body of Christ. But there has to be a plan. And you choose. You decide whether you actually are going to grow or not. You decide whether you want to study the scripture so you can be ready. You decide whether you're going to prepare yourself or not. And so when we think about preparing ourselves, if we're going to touch lives for Christ and train others, we have to be prepared. We have to know the word. We have to know the truths. We have to know the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2 and when under this prepare self, because we're following this biblical pattern. Look what he says. 2:1, it starts the passage by saying, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We stand in the grace of God. But notice verse 2, which is a famous one. And that goes back to the study that we always talk about. At Countryside, we have two main studies. One's the 4:12, based off Ephesians 4:12, which is foundational truths. And then the other one's the 2:2, which goes a little bit deeper, but it's based off 2 Timothy 2:2. And notice it says, "The things that you have learned from me." Paul says to Timothy, "The things that you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses." In other words, when I taught this, Timothy, I didn't just teach it just to you. There were other people all around. "The things what I've taught you, you entrust these to faithful men who will to teach others also." So you see, Paul to Timothy and Timothy to others and others to others. That's the bottom line. Somebody taught me, I teach you, you teach somebody else, they teach somebody else. It just keeps on going. That's really the plan. The things you have heard, teach others. I call it this way: be taught, teach others. That's bottom line. You get taught truths and you turn around and you teach others. Now, when I say you get taught, it doesn't just mean that somebody teaches. You can be studying the scripture on your own as well, studying and understand things. So the first aspect is the things that you have been taught, the things that you know, you study it. And I think that that one of the keys there is the Ezra passage. And if you notice that some of your handouts have Romans 7:10. It's supposed to say Ezra 7:10. Didn't we change that already, or did we? Did we get to that and change it? We may not have. 2 Timothy 2:2. The next one says Romans 7:10. It's not Romans 7:10. It's Ezra 7:10. Ezra 7:10, which is to know, to apply, and to teach. Now, without taking the time to turn there, many of you, if you've ever been in the membership training class, this is one of the places we always go, because this is a bottom line. This is something that every one of us in this room need to make a decision on. If you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to make disciples, if you're going to be prepared so that you can teach others, you need to do what Ezra did. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra says, "Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would practice it, and he would teach its statutes and ordinances in all Israel." Ezra purposed that he would know the Bible, he would study it, he would dig it, then he would live it out, that's application, and then he would pass it on and teach it to other people. And so under Romans 7:10 there, Ezra 7:10 on your book, that little handout, the bottom line is you got to study it, you got to apply it, and you got to teach it. Now, most of us believe we're supposed to evangelize, but not many of us believe we're actually supposed to be teaching the Bible to other people. But you are. Because you know the truth. And we're not talking about having the gift of teaching. There are people with the gift of teaching. They love to teach. They can hardly wait to do it. They study. They put it together. They get to do things like I get to do. I get to teach the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all kinds of studies because I have the gift of teaching. I love to do it. But to be able to be a disciple and to pass the truths on does not require the gift of teaching. It requires you to be faithful to communicate what you know to other people. Take the things you've been taught and entrust these to faithful people so they can know as well. Now, the bottom line to prepare yourself to do this is you're going to have to study it, you're going to have to know it, and you're going to have to apply it, and then you're going to have to pass it on. So here's the thing, and I've got 2 Timothy 2:15. I don't know if that verse is there. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to dig it. Now, for you to study the scripture, you're going to have to dig it. And I think one of the keys that believers have missed out on, especially in Bible teaching churches like ours, where the emphasis is scripture, a lot of believers don't study the Bible for themselves. Because they say, I'll just go and JB's going to teach right through the passage. But the bottom line is all of us need to be digging the scripture ourselves. You need to have taken that 4:12 where you know how to observe, interpret, apply. You know how the questions to ask. You know how to look at a passage in its context. You know how to do it historically, literally, grammatically, so that you can go to a passage in the Bible. You can go to the Bible and you can put it together and you can say, I know what this passage is saying. You've got to study it. And just in the same way you say, well, I'm going to go to Sunday morning, I'm going to go to Sunday school, I'm going to go to Sunday night, I'm going to take a CBI class. That is great. You should. That's good. If you can, if you got the time, you should also have some time in your life, in your week, that you are studying the Bible on your own, that you're digging the scripture. And you say, well, I don't have any tools. I hope you get them. Because when we teach people how to study the Bible, there are certain tools that can help you, like a concordance and some commentaries and some reference books that can help you. We can help you get those so that you could be at your house and you're saying, I'm studying 2 Timothy by myself and I'm putting this together and I'm observing it, interpreting it, applying it. I'm understanding this scripture. I'm making application. And you can say something like this. I bet JB didn't even see this thing, you know, because that's what you can do. And you can come up to me and I'll go, I never even saw it that way. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Mind if I use that? You know, good stuff. Study it. And then when you study it, you have to apply it. See, there's a lot of people that say, I want to study the Bible so I can teach the Bible. The goal of the study of the Word of God is application. You study the Bible so you can live it out in your life. As you live it out in your life, then you will be able to communicate it to others. If you do not live it out in your life, they're not going to listen to you, because if your life doesn't measure up to what you teach, they will not listen to you. You have to know it and apply it. That's why Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would practice it, and then he would. The third thing is to apply it, and that's one of the keys there. Apply the truths. I've got Philippians 4:9 for you there, that in Titus 2:7. Philippians 4:9, where Paul says, take the things that you've been taught and practice these things. You need to apply the truths in your life. So we got know it, which is 2 Timothy 2:2 and Ezra 7:10 and 2 Timothey 2:15. That's really digging it. And then making the application, I've got Philippians 4:9 and Titus 2:7. Titus 2:7 says, show yourself as an example, being imitators in that way, studying it. Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Whoa, that's pretty tough. Knowing and applying the Word of God. Digging it. Ask yourself this question. Am I having a time, whether it's weekly, it ought to be weekly, but it may be weekly or every other week, in which I am studying the Bible on my own so I can know it, so I can make application, so I can be prepared to teach other people. Now, you remember 2 Timothy 2:2? It said what? Entrust these truths to who? Faithful people. You want to invest your time and your life into people who are faithful. That means as you begin to reach out and to touch lives for Christ, and you begin to say, hey, would you like to meet and let's go over some stuff? How would you like to me to take you through the 4:12 study, or take you through some other study, or do this or do this? You want faithful people. You want faithful people. Because if they're not faithful, what happens? You end up being by yourself. That's what happens. When I first came to Countryside, I've told this story before. When I first came to Countryside, you know, there were 11 people. There were 11 members, and the church got up to like 20-something people. And there was a guy that was in the church, and he was asking me stuff about the Bible. And I said, hey, would you like to meet together? We could meet together, and we could go through some passages together. I thought, you know, I'll just take the guy through some stuff. And he said, oh, yeah. So we were going to meet at the Holiday Inn. And we met and went through some stuff, and it was kind of fun. And I said, okay, you want to meet again next week? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, we can do this on a regular basis. Okay. So next week, I went there and sat there, and he never showed up. So I thought, well, maybe something happened, because I knew he had his job. And so then I saw him, and I said, we're going to meet? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So he didn't show up again the next time. So I called him, and I said, you didn't show up? And he said, yeah, I know. I said, why not? He said, well, I was just testing you to see if you were going to call me. See, last time I didn't show up and you didn't call me. I was just testing you to see if you're going to find out whether you're going to call me every time or not. I said, no, I'm not going to call you every time. I said, do you want to meet or not? You know what he said? No, I don't. I said, okay. Sometimes there are people who are not faithful. He says, entrust these things to faithful people. That's going to be saying, I want to know this. I want to get with you. I want to spend time. And you can teach them the truth. So you got to prepare yourself, okay? And that means you got to know the scripture. You got to dig it. You got to put it together. You got to be living it out. And then at the top of the next page is the whole idea of training others. And it goes back to the same verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's where you take the truths and you teach them. You teach them. You pass on the truths from God's word. You speak the things. I love the Titus 2:1 passage where he says, speak the things which are sound doctrine. Let me just say this to you. And I know that it's hard because if you haven't, you don't have a lot of time. People say, well, you haven't been to seminary. The bottom line, y'all, is you need to teach the Bible. Most people want to teach somebody's book. They want to go get a Swindoll book or somebody else's book and they want to teach a book. You want to teach the Bible. Now, you can use a book to help, but bottom line, you want to communicate the truths of the Bible. It ought to be centered around the Scripture. That's the key. The key is not somebody's book, but the Word of God. Now, we talked about faithful people a while ago. There's a little acronym that sounds bad, but it's really not bad. It says it's supposed to be look for fat people, not love for fat people. I don't know. We've got a bunch of errors in this one, and I'm trying to get it corrected. Maybe when we get to lesson 4 that we won't have as many errors. But this is supposed to say look for fat people, which FAT stands for, if you want to fill it in, faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. I think the greatest thing that a person could be is faithful. Because that's going to be the standard. Because when you stand before Jesus Christ, what's he going to say? Well done, good and what? Faithful. It's not how smart you are. It's not how many people you led to Christ. It's not how big the ministry was. It wasn't if you spoke before 1,000, if you had a Bible study that did this, if you made millions of dollars, what house you had. That's not the issue. When you stand before Jesus Christ, the issue is, were you faithful? Were you faithful to do whatever he had for you to do? And so what the bottom line is, we're looking for faithful people, faithful, available, and teachable. Think about faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 is a verse if you want to write out beside that. Moreover, brothers, require the stewards to be found faithful. And that's what we want to be. We want to be faithful, dependable. There are some that are faithful. They are there. Every time you look up, they are there. They're always wanting to learn. They're always wanting to know. And those people are going to change the world. They're going to change the world. When you find somebody that is excited, get with them. It's a dual thing. Number one is you need to find somebody that's further down the road than you are and get with them so they can teach you. And then you need to turn around and find somebody that's not as far down the road as you are and you teach them. That's what 2 Timothy says. Take the things you've been taught and you entrust them to others so they can teach others. And let me tell you, be looking for those people that are faithful, that they're there. That's the key. Faithful, man. They're desiring to serve. They're dependable. They're the ones that are willing and open. They change the world. You think about the 11. You know, Judas killed himself, and so there were 11 men left, basically. And on the day of Pentecost, when the church age began, there were 120 believers in the upper room, but there were really the 11 men that God had chosen, that Jesus had chosen. And a lot of people say, what's going to be plan B? There wasn't any plan B. It was only one plan. The plan was to use those 11 men to begin to change the world. And what's so incredible is that small group changed the world. And you think about it, there were 11. But even if you said there were 120, there were 120 on the day of Pentecost in that upper room praying. There are more than 120 in this room right now. And they changed the world. We could surely change this town, couldn't we? I mean, do we ever think about going into this community with the message of Christ, leading people to Christ, bringing them into this body, and you discipling them so they can do the same thing? That's what it's all about. Do you want to leave a legacy? Do we want our lives to count? Do we want to get to the end of our lives and say, well, I kind of just went through life? No. Faithful. We're looking for faithful people. The second thing is looking for available people. Wow. Available. That's the ones that are willing to serve. You know, they offer their lives. They take the time. I don't know if we got to offer their lives as living sacrifices. They're available. They make the time to grow. You know, there's a million things that could stop us. You know, the parable of the sower when he throws the seed and some of the seeds never even get to it. And then the seed gets there and it starts to grow. But one of them, it just doesn't have much root and doesn't do much. And the other one, there's the cares of the world and the pleasures of this life choke it out and doesn't produce anything. That's what happens so much to all of us. There's so many things in this world that just push our time that we have to say, I'm going to be available. I'm going to be able to know. I'm going to be able to grow. I'm going to be able to teach. I'm going to be able to serve. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do this. Faithful and available. And the third one is a key, and that's teachable. And you've heard me talk about this many times. You've got to be open and willing to know and apply the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you are not teachable, now let me tell you, we know the message of salvation, right? We know the grace message. There are things you know. You know there are truths from the Bible that you're not going to change on. You know the salvation message. You know that the Bible's God's word. You know how the kind of the Bible is fitting together. You know those kind of things. But there's so much others that we need to be teachable. And you know what? Even people that we don't always agree with, there are some things we can learn from them. If it's not even just enough to say, I learned don't say that. I learned don't believe that. But when you get to the point where you are not teachable, you're not going to grow anymore. And when you're not going to grow anymore, you're not going to be able to disciple others and teach anybody else. Prof. Hendricks always implied, you know, he really pushed this thing about being teachable. He said, I know some people that aren't teachable and they're already dead when they're 20 years old. And I know some people who are 80 and they're rolling and they're still being taught. That's why you got to read. We're not a reading culture anymore. All we do is watch videos, TV, YouTube, watch our telephones. Look here. You know, and that's what we do. We need to be reading and talking and doing ideas and thinking about what we believe and being ready to give an answer. Wouldn't it be fun to get with a couple of people, maybe 3, 4, 5 people, like on a Saturday morning, and just talk about the Bible? Every time I ask somebody, hey, you want to meet Saturday morning and talk about the Bible? They go, I don't get up much on Saturday morning. Wouldn't it be fun to do that? Anybody want to, give me a call. We'll talk about the Bible. Faithful, available, and teachable. I think we've heard that bell. Well, there's one other thing, and that's the pattern. And we got 5 minutes, so let's look at the pattern for just a second. I think there's a pattern, a way that we can do this that might help you think through ministry. And if you want to, look at Acts 18. Just turn over to Acts 18. I want you to see this. And we'll go through it very quickly. And we might even finish it today. Probably not. But if we don't, what we'll do is we'll just touch on it again next week. But we'll get into the last lesson, which is some areas, 5 areas that we're going to be charged to charge ourselves to do. Well, think about this. We want to be ready. We want to prepare ourselves. We want to be ready to train others. We want to be faithful, available, teachable. We want to find the faithful, available, teachable people. But there's a biblical pattern, I think, in how to do ministry and how to do these things. And there are 5 steps there, I think, in the book of Acts. But let me just tell you this. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you go out and you find people. And you connect with them. And you teach them. And you begin to show them how things fit together. And then you begin to take them with you. And they watch you do ministry. And then they help you do ministry. And then they are able to do ministry. See, it's a pattern. You find them. And you teach them and train them. And you begin to equip them. And then you take them with you. And they see what you're doing. And then you take them with you. And you say, you help me do this. And then eventually, they do it. And then what they're doing is they're finding somebody else they're taking with them. That's what you see in Acts. Just quickly, let's put the 5 steps up, and then we'll come back to them. The first one is we find people. Go out where they are. We're going to see that Paul found Aquila and Priscilla. We'll talk about it next week in a little bit more detail. But he actually found these people, and he began to disciple and to teach them. And they heard his teaching, and they thought, this guy knows the Bible. And he taught them the Bible. And then he began being an example by how he lived and what he did. And then he taught them the truths, Acts 18:11, and they could see how he did ministry and all those kind of things. He was an example to have been, you know, the number two there is they watched him minister to other people, and they went, wow. And then he not only then began to, they not only began to see him, but he began to teach them. And then they became partners in ministry with him. He would take them with him. And then finally, they did ministry apart from him. And that's really one of the keys, y'all. That's the key. One of the things, you know, when I was at Dallas Seminary, kind of one of my heroes is Prof. Hendricks. He'd always said all kind of things that you remember. But one of the things he used to say is, don't go anywhere by yourself. And sometimes I'm going someplace, I'll call somebody and say, hey, I'm going over there. You want to go with me? Sometimes I'll say to one of the other staff guys, hey, I'm going up to the hospital. Do you want to go with me? You would not believe that going to the hospital is not that much fun, is it? Especially if you've never gone to the hospital before. If you've never visited anybody in the hospital. If you're young on staff, you're a young pastor, you've never been to the hospital, and somebody says, go to the hospital and visit that person, you go, well, you do. Well, you don't do it that way. You say, I'm going to the hospital. You want to go with me? I've had guys who are pastors who've never done a wedding or a funeral, and they'll call me and they'll say, can I come be with you and see you do a funeral? I go, well, I'm not looking for one right now, but if I have one, I'll call you. That's how ministry is done. You connect with people, and you invest your time in their life, your life into them, your time into them, and they grow with you, and they begin to see you do ministry, and then they begin to help you do ministry, and then they're able to do ministry. That's the same for all of us. I'm not just saying staff. It's all of us. We do that. Look at Acts 18. Look at 1 through 3. After these things, he, Paul, left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he came to them, and because he was the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for they were all tent makers. So Paul got with them. He connected with these people. He found them. He found some people. He said, y'all are tent makers? I'm a tent maker. Can I make tents with y'all? Yeah, we. And so they began being together, and they began to see his life, and they began to see what he did. And look, he was an example to them. Look at verses 4 and 5. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. They, Aquila and Priscilla, saw that. They watched this man minister. They watched him go into the Sabbath and to the synagogue and talk. And then they watched him as he taught places. And they would say, that guy knows some scripture. He knows what to do. I know that's the second bell. I want you to see the third thing, though, and that is where he taught them. 18:11, and he settled down a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. He gave them the foundation of the truths of the word of God. And that's what you have to do. And, of course, later on, we'll get to the next week, where he takes them to places, and then they do their own ministry. And we'll finish that next week and then get into the next lesson as well, which has got some really good stuff in there. The goal is that you would be faithful. The goal is that you'd be available. The goal that you'd be teachable. The goal that you'd take what you know, you'd apply it in your life, and you'd pass it on to others. The goal is you take what you've been taught, you entrust it to faithful people so they can teach others as well. The goal is you reach out and invest your life in people, and you get them with you, and they watch you, and you teach them, and you train them, and you help them. And you may say, but I need somebody to do that for me. Okay, we'll find somebody for you. That's the plan. So that we can be men and women who are making disciples, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our Sunday school class. Thanks for each one that's here, Lord, and just the fun that we have. Lord, it's a challenge not only to share our faith, but then to teach others, to make disciples, to train others. And Lord, we just want our lives to count for you. And Lord, we don't want to go through life and just have lived. We want to make an impact. We want to leave a legacy. We want to touch lives for you. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Lord, use us. Use us to invest ourselves, making the choices to invest our lives into others, helping them grow so that we can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.